And welcome in, folks. It is John here, out of your Falcon mind, as you know, joined by my bro, man, Mr. J.R. Clark from Pound for Pound. Buddy, what's going on today?
Oh, nothing. You know, just chilling. Just, you know, cool weather in the air. You know,
there's zero reason that you and I are meeting here at 4:12 to record a video today.
Yeah, no reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. No, you got some stuff popping off, bro.
Yeah, as y'all can see on the screen, man, it's Taylor time now. And I'm sure everybody's been talking about it. Uncle Steve did a stream earlier with Smitty and everybody, and they were going nuts and, you know, having everybody come in and comment their, give their opinions. And largely, folks are happy about it for the most part. I think there's a very small percentage of folks that are not happy about it. And we're going to talk about all of it. But, you know, when I watched that press conference on Monday, and I don't know how, we haven't talked about it. You and I haven't talked about it. So I don't know how you felt. I didn't feel that there was any chance Ritter was starting this. The way it sounded, everything that kind of came out of his mouth did not lead me to think that Ritter was starting at least this week. What did you think?
That was the thing, is like, and that's something I said on our stream on Monday, was when Jeff Schultz of The Athletic directly asked him, if Desmond is healthy, is he your starter? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Smith gave that answer about, well, we just have to see about, like, you know, where he's at. And da, da, da. Like, okay, you just threw in a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't need to per the question. Schultz laid out the question, if he's healthy. So you don't need all that other stuff, you know, given this scenario.
Yep.
And the fact that he wouldn't say yes, I was like, I don't think Ritter's starting, at least this week.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I told Mike and Alberto on our stream as well on Monday. I said, you know, to me, you know, you get asked that question as a head coach. The simple answer, oh, yeah, my QB1. He's playing. Yeah. Absolutely. If he's healthy, yeah, he's playing. Mm-hmm. Any coach is going to say that, right? So, I mean, that was just kind of the telltale for me. And then so it wasn't a shock today when he said Taylor was starting. Now, he did say this week, that's what he said. And then they followed up with some of the questions. Well, you know, is it more injury related, or is he okay, or is it, you know, performance related? It was just, his answer was just like, well, there's a lot of variables that go into it.
Right.
And that's all he kept saying. The entire press conference was, anybody would try to get anything more out of him, and it was just, there's a lot of variables that go into it. And I'm not going to change my answer. That's my answer. You know, so, you know, to me, it just seems like in his, and I kind of mean, it's a perfect time to see what Taylor can do. Under the guise of, well, he was kind of banged up last week, you know, he was in the protocol, or he was not in protocol, he cleared, but, you know,
he cleared it.
As Arthur's will say, I'm just being careful, and I just want to, you know, make sure, you know, what's best for the player, and he's not admitting to anything performance related at all. He's just saying there's a bunch of variables. To me, of course, there's got to be some performance in there, otherwise, again, you're not making this change if he's cleared and healthy to play.
I mean, because you look at it like this, like at no point in time in this season or last, so you could say like this, at no point in time in the 12 starts of Desmond Ritter, and I'm not saying this to like dog him, pile on him, whatever, but at no point in time have you had a 20-point half, right, like that you've scored 20 points and a half, mm-hmm, that I'm aware of. Like the only one I can think of is maybe the Tampa game last year. Yep. I haven't gone back to double check, so somebody in the comments may like roast me for that, and that's fine. But I know this year, no point in time in the half have you scored 20 points. And it's not like Taylor was like otherworldly. He was 12 for 21. But the thing is he was processing it faster, getting, you know, the ball out quicker and, you know, taking, you know, deeper shots, so to speak, and was able to move the ball. Like he was playing at a level that you were hoping that you were going to get from Ritter by now.
Yeah. And it looked like, I mean, just watching some of the All-22, that he was seeing things before the snap that maybe Dez was not seeing. You know, I mean, maybe he wasn't seeing some. I mean, Dez was sacked 5 times in the first half. You know, and yeah, the offensive line has not been great this year, but some of that stuff is on him as well. So, mm-hmm, you know, and, you know, I said on Monday, you know, it was obvious that Taylor was getting the ball out faster too, which also helps your offensive line too. So, you know, I get that, you know, Arthur doesn't want to go into and just flat out dog Ritter and say, hey, you know, no, he wasn't performing up to snuff, and we're going to have. I get that he's not going to just throw his guy on the bus, you know, and he's going to say there's, you know, multiple variables or whatever, you know, he ended up with. But, you know, that, to me, like I said, if he rolls with him this week, which we are obviously going to do, and he does well, I don't see how you take him back out. You know,
I'll say this: if you win and it looks only a tick better than what you've been, I don't see how you could take him back out. I really don't. Like, at this point, you know, you've given Ritter, like I said, 12 games, you know, 4 games last year, 8 games this year. Is that enough? Maybe, maybe not. But it's the one thing that people have to remember is he's not going to have the same leash as a first-round quarterback because you don't have as much invested in him. So he doesn't have as many chances. It's just plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, and the fact that, you know, midway through the season or close to midway through the season, you're in first place in the NFC South yet again. You know, you're in contention of the NFC South. And you've just come off of 2-7-10 win seasons. You have to start showing some progress.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we're not early in the season anymore. This is year 3. You know, as Mike always says, Art's got his groceries now. So, like, you know, you're expected to win now. And he's got to be feeling the pressure now to win. So he's got to make that decision based on what's going to get me the best opportunity to win the rest of the season out. So, I mean, not just for the team, but for his own personal sake, his own job, everything. I mean, he's all that's got to be taken into account when he makes this decision. You know, if Taylor goes out, falls flat on his face, okay, well, he's the backup, and, you know.
You can at least then, if you're Smith, you can at least then, like, go, hey, look, you know, neither one of these quarterbacks panned out.
Right.
You know, one of them was a career backup. The other one was the third round pick. I haven't had a true, like, chance at a quarterback yet. Mm-hmm. And you can at least throw that at the feet of you know, Blank and McKay and Fontenot or whatever. And now, granted, there's other things that we can talk about, run game, whatever, you know, offense efficiency, play calling, all that other stuff. But we most fans know that a coach is, you know, tends to be tied to, like, quarterback performance. And, you know, Arthur, in my opinion, is starting to see the writing on the wall. He doesn't want his job to be tied to Ritter. Like, you could say, well, he picked him. Yes, he picked him, but it was in a, you know, bad class, and he didn't do what the Steelers did and use a first-round pick on him. So that's some saving grace there.
Yeah, I mean, we've said all along, and I know you have too, and we've all agreed, the best case scenario for this whole thing is that Ritter hit, and that he was going to be, you know, by now we're like, okay, this is going to be the guy. We you know, it doesn't happen. You know, when we did the show on quarterbacks, yeah, there's very few third, fourth, fifth round guys end up starting in the league. It is. It's just a very small percentage. So it's not to say he can't be that guy, but it may take longer for development. And like you said, that leash is not going to be near as long because, I mean, not only do we have these offensive weapons around us, but the defense has been playing so well this year, you know, outside of those hiccups last week, but they've been playing so well that we should have a 6-2 record. You know what I mean? We should not be 4-4, you know, that type of thing, you know, and this, our offense has been lagging behind, and, you know, you can't leave out the quarterback play. And I've been hoping like hell from every week. I'm like, maybe this is a week he gets it. Maybe this is a week he puts it all together. It just hasn't happened yet. And there's only so long you can let it go. You know, like at some point you've got to make that decision. And now we're, like I said, week 9, you know, we should have won last week's game, but you got to win. Look, if you're facing Jaren Hall this Sunday, man, you got to win this game. And then you've got the Cardinals, then you got the bye week, and then, you know, the Saints after that. So, you know,
I could easily see them, even if Taylor doesn't come out, like, you know, hair on fire, I could see them rolling with him the Vikings game and the Cardinals game, and then making a decision, you know, during the bye week. But like you talk about the defensive hiccups, I saw something just a little bit ago that I realized, but it's like outside of the deep shots, like Levis didn't really play great.
No.
Like he was efficient. Like he had, according to Warren Sharp, he had like he was 30th in success rate. But his deep shots, he was able to connect. And
yeah.
I can guarantee that, you know, this week and maybe even going forward, that our secondary isn't going to be playing as aggressive, you know, as they did in Tennessee, figuring that they are going to be able to, you know, get Levis, you know, whether it was a pick or what have you. So it'll be interesting to see how the defense itself bounces back. But yeah, you can't waste much more time if you're Arthur Smith. Like, I don't think, even if we turn in a 7-10, I don't think he gets fired this year, but the fire would be getting turned up.
Oh, yeah. I think next year he starts with the oven already on. Like, it's, you know, like, dude, if it's 3 years of 7-10 or even worse or whatever, missing the playoffs, like, you know, and you have another draft and another free agency period with a lot of money to spend, like, dude. I mean, you got no excuses at this point. And who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be then, which sucks because, like I said, and you know, and if y'all are wondering, Mike is very happy. Mike is extremely happy. His boy's going to get to start. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do the recording with us today because he's too busy with work. But I text him. He's ecstatic. He's not happy because of Desmond's. He doesn't want to see anybody do bad. Or I mean, if y'all watch the show, y'all understand that. Like, he's 100% supportive of Desmond. He's just thought, and it's his opinion, and he's completely has the right to have this opinion, that he just thought the whole time that Taylor was the better option. And he liked Taylor before he was a Falcon. You know, he liked what he's made of, and, you know, he likes that just mentality that he has. So it's, you know, that's totally fine, you know. And but he understood the entire time as well that the best case scenario was that we don't see Taylor and that Ritter just hits and is the man, and we go on and we got a $1 million quarterback for a few years and we can just beef up this team. But again, if that's probably not going to be the chance. Now, not to say he couldn't turn into something down the road. He may be. Just, you know, as of now, he's looking like that kind of, you know, and our boy Steven said it earlier, Harold, on Twitter, you know, that Jacoby Brissett type of lifetime backup type of guy.
Yeah.
It's not a bad career, but I mean.
No, you know. Not for him. It's not a bad career. Like, you know, me and Toby said last year when it was Ritter and Mariota, you know, best case scenario, one of those two dudes hit. You know, in a year where Geno Smith saw his like career get resurrected for a brief period, it looked like Baker was going to have his career resurrected. Yeah. You know, that's something that, you know, we hoped for. And then even coming into this season, like in our own streams, everybody's like, oh man, Ritter's the man, Ritter's the man. And I was unwilling to say that until I was like, I will withhold judgment until I see a full season of Ritter. And it wasn't up until about the Houston game that he finally started to look like, you know, he was making NFL quality throws.
Yep.
And, but then you had the fumble problem start happening. Like, not as bad, like, well, still the interception with the Washington game with three interceptions, but you had, you know, the fumbles started popping up big time. And, like, you cannot put your team in advantageous situations. And he did that repeatedly.
Yeah.
Like, you got lucky. Like, you don't win with negative turnover margins.
Nope.
The fact that you were able to beat Tampa with a negative turnover margin just speaks to how well the defense was playing. You don't turn the ball over that many times in a game, three times in the red zone, and win the game. That's something that doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah.
Could have easily lost that game, yeah. And, I mean, going back to what we said on our show on Monday, I mean, there's only so much time that you can really have to give the quarterback to develop. And I know people that are really pissed off. A lot of people are pissed off that, you know, I thought we were supposed to develop him. And, you know, what are we doing? What's the plan? I thought he's supposed to have this whole year. That type of thing. And Savion, if y'all missed the show, Savion said it best. He said, you know, Ritter's timeline of development, unfortunately, has not caught up with our timeline of being really good. And that's the problem, is that we, the defense, the players around him are ahead of where he's at, you know, and that's unfortunate because that's not what we wanted, but that's just the reality of it. So as a head coach and as an organization, your job is to win. It's your job to put a winning product on the field. We don't have 3 years to sit around and hope that he develops. We just don't. No organization is going to do that. No coach is going to do that. That's their jobs that they have to worry about. So now, if this was last year, maybe.
Well, sure. That's the argument, right? Is when you started to see what you in a lot of people's eyes, you took too long to make the switch last year.
Right.
So that maybe you could have seen this stuff and could have made a decision by the end of last year to where maybe you do something a little different. Maybe you draft a Levis. I'm not saying that you should have. Mm-hmm. I still wouldn't have.
Right.
But maybe you do something different than a Bijan. You know, maybe you make the moves that you make, and maybe you're the one that moves up for a CJ Stroud, you know, type player.
I don't make Damski mad now if you say that.
But you see what I'm saying, though, right? Yeah, this brings up the point I made in the little video I put out was, like, do we feel like we actually have the coaching staff to develop a young quarterback? Because this is something I've started to think about these past, you know, few weeks, you know, with Charles London up in Tennessee now.
Yeah.
Like, is Dave Ragone the guy? He doesn't really have that great of a track record.
I'm not even sure what he does.
Well, I mean, none of us really are in a sense. Like, and I say that like sarcastically, but because all we see is the play calling on the sideline. Mm-hmm. It's the Eric Bieniemy thing, right? If you don't call the plays, we just assume as fans that you don't do anything.
Right.
Well, what I'm looking at. Right. Yeah. But what I'm looking at is, okay, you don't call the plays. There have been times that the game plan doesn't seem to be very like coherent. And the, like, you don't necessarily seem to be giving your quarterback easy throws to like set up the game and things like that. So your job is to develop the quarterback. And the quarterback is not developing well. So now I am looking at you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so somebody mentioned on Twitter, like, Pep Hamilton's working for the NFL Network right now.
Make a phone call, man.
I would love to have Pep Hamilton.
100%.
Especially if you're going to go with a young QB next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's partly, you know, like, I didn't think we all hoped that maybe Marcus could be like that Geno Smith type of guy and resurrect his career or whatever. But I mean, obviously it wasn't going to happen. And there's only so much, I guess, development can really happen with him at that age and that far into his career. But with Dez too, it's like, well, I mean, is not that he's topped out or anything like that, but you know, there is a certain level you're going to reach, you know, and like you may not that he's peaked, but I mean, you know, there's just, You can coach him up as much as you want, but maybe he's just not that talented. Maybe he just can't, you know, we've all talked about, you know, what he has from the neck up, you know, he has to put it together on the field. Maybe he just doesn't have that part of it, you know? And I've seen all the numbers. I know all the Josh Allen, Matt Ryan, like everything. I know like Peyton Manning, all those things. I know it takes a while for quarterbacks, sometimes 2 or 3 years to get it. But again, it just goes back to this regime, us as fans, I don't want to wait 2 or 3 years. I mean, I'm tired of losing, man. I know they are. Like I said, my job doesn't even depend on it, but I'm just tired as a fan of losing. So, I mean, and it doesn't even mean that Taylor's going to be the person. I mean, that's really where we're going to go next is, I mean, it doesn't mean that Taylor's going to be the guy going forward, because you can't rely on a, you know, basically a journeyman. Not to say he's not, like you said, he's not been all around the world or anything like that, but basically a career backup for the most part. To be the guy going forward. I mean, Mike brought up on, and Alberto did on our stream on Monday, that, you know, he didn't have near probably the talent around him as we do here, you know, in Atlanta, but that also goes to, you still gotta operate the offense, and you still have to make the play calls have to be made that's advantageous to him and the offense to where it all flows. Now, look, it flowed pretty well in the second half. Clearly against Tennessee, with the way the Tennessee was probably playing a little bit softer because they had a lead, you know, they weren't just up there and they knew, you know, they had the ability to do that. The run game was working a little bit better. There's a lot of factors that went into why he was better in the second half. But I mean, how do you see the offseason now shaping up? Even if Taylor goes out there and say we go, what do we got? Well, how many games we got left? We got 9 games left.
Yeah, 9 games left.
So say we go 7-2.
Okay.
I mean, you think Taylor's, Taylor might be the guy going next year, or no, we're still going to be in the QB market.
If it's me, I would still be in the QB market. Like, but it'll be interesting whether it's like who is available.
Right.
I don't know if they'll go into, because if you like in that scenario, you're probably first in the NFC South. You have a playoff game, maybe two, depending on how the chips play. You're talking about you're picking in the bottom of the first round.
Right.
So are you confident that a Shedeur Sanders, if he comes out, or a Riley Leonard, if he comes out,
can you imagine?
Jaden Shedeur Daniels, if he comes out, like that second tier past Caleb Williams and Drake May, like, are you confident one of those guys are going to hit? Are you confident that you can develop one of those guys? Or is it a scenario where you think that you can get, and the only quarterbacks that I think might be available that might be worth it is, maybe a Kyler Murray. I don't know if I necessarily think that would jive here, but do you think you can get Justin Fields out of Chicago? Do you think they move on from him? Like, it'll be interesting to see, but I don't think Tyler's the answer. Like, I really don't. Like, I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times before. Mm-hmm. And again, that would be nice. You got him under contract for 2 years for $7 million each year, so that would be nice. But like, if he was the guy, Washington wouldn't have turned to Sam Howell.
All right. Yeah. And I mean, we had a guy comment, I can't think of his name right now, but I think it was Metal Man something, but it was on our stream, but he was a Redskins, or I'm sorry, Commanders fan, my bad. For a long time, he said, the reason that Taylor had a clause in his contract, and that's the reason he didn't play the last game, in his opinion, or that was basically he it's like $106,000 or so that he would have been owed if he had played in that last game. So they didn't play him, played Howell instead. So, they saved money. I don't know who knows if that's really the reason or not.
Oh, no, that happens but quite a bit.
And I can see the rest. Good Lord. I can see the Commanders doing that with their organization. But, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I would, like I said, best case scenario, Ritter hit, that's gone apparently. Second best scenario, yeah, Taylor all of a sudden is like, oh man, he can just make it in this offense. And he is, he's not turning the ball over as much as he has in the past, and we're good to, we at least have him for 2 or 3 years. It's probably
And this would not be the first time that Arthur Smith has taken a backup and turned him into a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Now granted, Ryan Tannehill started as a starter.
Yeah.
But he was brought in to be a backup.
Right.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but to this point, Taylor hasn't been the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's given you 4, 5, 6 games worth of, great play. But just like with Nick Foles, whatever it is about him, like, we don't see these guys day in, day out, whatever it is about them, in the offseason, nobody hands them the keys. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal with Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
Like, nobody hands them the keys. They like you. They want you around. You can win a handful of games, keep somebody in playoff contention, maybe even win a playoff game or two. But I'm not turning the keys over to you. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And, like, here's the deal that people need to understand, I guess, is we have to squarely understand that we are in the place I didn't want to be.
Yeah, 100%.
We are on the QB carousel. And as long as we're on this
14 years of Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So, as long as we're on this carousel, don't expect much. You need to readjust your expectations.
Yeah. So, like, the last thing I want to do is become the Cleveland Browns,
Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. Look at what just transpired out in Vegas with the Raiders.
Yep.
You're firing your coach at 1 o'clock in the morning. Putting in an interim coach and GM and putting in an interim coach and GM and naming a rookie a starter.
Yeah. dumpster fire.
Right. Right. So, yeah, buckle up, folks, because this ain't going to be fun for a while, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, our best case scenario, man, Taylor comes in, we win this week, keep rolling, win next week against Arizona, go into the bye week up, you know, two games, and, you know, when we have the Saints coming out, that's what we got to hope for. And, I mean, Taylor's presented with a huge opportunity now. I mean, you're in your hometown team, and, I mean, I know he was a Brett Favre fan growing up, you know, but it's like, man, here's your opportunity. If you want to prove that you can start in this league, you're going to have probably the chance to do it, because
it's going to be it's going to be the best chance that I think you've truly had.
100%. Yeah.
Like, you know, you, like you got Kyle Pitts, you got Drake London, you got Bijan Robinson, you know, you have
quarterback's dream, dude.
Right. You have a ton of talent. You have, you know, you have a offense that people can be, you know, pissed off all they want to, but you have an offense that thoroughly enjoys using two and three tight ends.
Yeah.
So protection should be there. Outlets should be there. And all you got to do now is do what Dez was doing when we were praising him. Distribute the ball and don't turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, I've always said, like, what Kirk Cousins was a fourth round pick.
Yep.
Like for the very, like first few years of him getting a chance to start there in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing until he really got, like, it's devastating to have him tear his ACL, because now I got to try to find a different quarterback.
Oh, dang. You got him?
Oh, one of my fans, not ours. I got Trevor Lawrence and Tua. But in my other one, I had Kirk Cousins, and he was killing it.
Yeah.
So now, like the Commanders, I'm turning to Sam Howell because there's really nobody else.
Wait, he throws the ball. He's going to throw it. But it may not be the right team every time, but he's going to throw it.
Yeah,
but, that's what we we're going to get to look forward to this weekend. And, but hey, you know, it's going to be, you know, that defense there, I mean, they're going to get after the passer, you know, they're going to get after him this week for sure. So, I mean, he's going to have his hands full. But like you said, just not try to, don't force the balls in there, you know, obviously, and just like you said, distribute to the open guys and let the run game do its thing, man. That's what we have to rely on this week and hopefully going forward. And, you know, like I said, overall, I get why Arthur made a decision. I mean, if he had decided to go with Ritter this week and he stunk it up, can you imagine?
I'll say this.
Oh my goodness.
I'll say this. I'm at least glad they didn't try to lean into Ritter still hurt. Because that would have been such a BS.
Oh, completely.
Answer. Like, no, the whole variables thing wasn't a great answer, but at least it left, you know, at least you didn't try to lean into the whole, oh, well, we're not 100% sure about his health thing.
Yeah.
Because that would have just come off so, like, seen right through that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it already seems pretty shady, but the variables, like you said, it's not as bad as it could be, but I mean, that's just code for, yeah, you know, it's performance based. It's you know, because he's cleared, he's healthy, so you know, it's, I mean, if he's cleared and healthy, then yeah, it's performance has to be part of it, then right. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be part of it. So but again, I get he's not gonna throw his guy, like we said earlier, he's not gonna throw his guy on the bus, so it makes total sense from that aspect. You know, but like I said, I'll hope the best for him, but I tend to think his days of starting here is probably over with, more than likely, barring just Taylor going out there falling, like I said, like head spinning around and know what he's doing.
Right. So. I think if Taylor looks competent throughout the rest of the year, he'll start for the rest of the year. Because I said that on Monday. I said that a couple weeks back after the 3-interception game. I said, you know, if you make the move, like, it's almost impossible to go back, in my opinion. Yeah. I know New England's been doing it, but that can't be working well for Mac Jones. I mean, their record shows that it's not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And you kind of wish, I mean, hindsight, you kind of wish that maybe they made it a little bit more competitive in training camp too. And maybe not just have said from day one that, you know, Dez is a starter. You know, kind of just let him go out there and sling it.
I see, like, back then I understood why.
Oh, I get me too. Yes, like, you like, want to give him all the confidence. You want to give him all the confidence.
You want to give him everything he can and see if he's going to be the guy. And I never, that part I didn't, you know, question per se.
Yeah.
And I often wonder if, you know, what they saw, and this is going to be conspiracy theory, crazy, like tinfoil hat type deal. If what they saw in training camp was the reason why you didn't see Heinicke play a lot in preseason. Because if he comes out there and he's moving it up and down, and then you get what you get at the start of the season with Ritter, he was immediately going to be
Where's Taylor?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But yeah. And I hate it. It's like, did you see the post from Josh Kendall about an hour ago?
Probably not. What is it?
So okay, so it's like new order in passing drills, and it showed, you know, Taylor up there first throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And then Ritter's out there throwing the ball as well. Poor Ritter, in a sense. Like, Taylor's ball, nice-looking ball, throwing against air, whatever. Ritter's ball, and he overshoots the receiver. I was like, God.
Right on cue.
Exactly. I was just like, man, no. And I'm surprised nobody has, like, well, at the time, nobody – oh, yeah, okay, here we go. I clicked on the thing now. It says, and Ritter airmailed it. So, I was like,
that poor guy, man. I mean, that's the thing. We'll end it here, man. But I just, you know, like I said, I love Ritter as a dude, and we've said it on the show hundreds of times. Great. Looks, seems like a great guy. Works his butt off. I mean, you know, there's no questioning the amount of work he puts into it. But like I said, I mean, I can work really hard to be an NBA player, and that's never going to happen for me. And I know that.
Dude, I'm short. I'm round. Like, no matter how much training I put in, I'm not going to be a running back in the NFL. Just ain't going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're everybody just has their limits, you know. As hard as you want to work at something, it may just not be there for you, you know. And if that's the case with Desmond, that sucks. That's not what we were hoping for, but it is what it is. You know, and we're going to support whoever's wearing that jersey behind center on Sundays, no matter what the situation is.
All day long, bro. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I know who my biases are, like, 100%. And you know, it's the guys hanging on the wall back here. Same. Past those two, like, I'll support whoever's in the jersey. If you ain't in the jersey, if you ain't helping my team win, then I've got no time for you.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm going to trust that, you know, I'm not going to say I trust Arthur 100% because he's getting, you know, it is what it is there, but there's some different answers there that it kind of gets me wondering. But I will say I trust the staff, like I said, I said all along, I didn't think he was stubborn enough to risk wins or his job just to keep Ritter in there. I did not think he was. I mean, thankfully he proved me right. He wasn't. Because if he did, I would have started questioning, like, dude, what are you trying to do here? Like, there's no point in trying to, like, prove this point you have. Like, just, you know, move on. But again, he made that decision. So, like I said, it's go number four time now, and until it's not. So
that's it. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, we'll see how it goes. If we're talking about a win next week, it'll be even better. But I tell you this: if he had rolled Ritter out there and lost to the Vikings,
that's it. Can you imagine, especially
lost to Jaren Hall? Holy crap!
I can't even imagine. I'd have stayed off Twitter. I don't even know what would happen.
Oh, dude, there's a real chance that I may stay off Twitter anyway. But
yeah, I mean, even our shows, the chat would just be
it would be a cesspool. Man. It would be a cesspool.
Yeah. So I mean, either way, it works out in his favor as well. Like I said, if Taylor comes out and does well, great, man. You made the right decision. We go forward. If he comes out, craps his pants, well, you know, he is a backup quarterback. You know, put him in there to give him a shot because, you know, we had to let Ritter get a little bit better. I know he was concussed, but, you know, we're going to let him kind of get better. Now Ritter comes back in maybe next week against Arizona, and we're really looking for a QB in the offseason without a doubt at that point. So that's what we don't want to be. We want Taylor to just go out there and play his balls off the rest of the season.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Leave no doubt in that 100%. Sense.
All right, guys, well, we took about 35 minutes up talking about this change. We wanted to just get it out there today. JR, man, thanks for coming on and
yes, talking
with me about it. And when y'all going live on
we'll be Tuesday, live on Tuesday, right? Yep, we'll be live Tuesday 7 p.m so y'all can come by Pound for Pound ATL, come check us out.
Absolutely, make sure y'all do that. I'm always there if I can be. If I'm not somewhere to do with baseball, which has been a lot recently, but it's coming to an end soon. So we'll have a little break. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it, but you know, it's just very time consuming. So, and then, we will be back. I made a mistake. Liam has a concert tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. So we're actually going to be on probably 8:30 to 8:45 ish. I'll have that, but it'll be myself, Mike, and then Savion again. Since Savion's writing for the Vikings now, we figured perfect time to have him on. So he'll be joining us.
Depending on if we win. If we win, I plan on having Savion on. If we don't, I can't. I ain't gonna talk.
Don't do it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he'll still be angry because, you know, he's still a Falcons fan.
Yeah, so he is. Yeah, he can get on and be angry with us.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, hope y'all enjoyed the video, man. And like I said, you can drop your comments on what y'all think. We're not going to hate on it. Everybody's got the right to their own opinion, man. We're just going to say go Falcons at the end of the day and go get a win no matter who's back there, whether it's Taylor, Ritter, or, you know, you name it. It could be Mike back there doing the quarterback. We're still going to root for Mike.
That'd be great. So, yep, I'd definitely root for Mike.
Absolutely.
He's got my vote.
I mean, one hit and he's probably dying. But other than that,
but that's okay. Yeah. No. He'll be all right. He looks crafty.
Oh, God. All right, man. We'll catch y'all next live, man. Have a great day. Peace.